All right, let's get into this message on Deborah. If we were to read the first five chapters of Judges, we would see a significant part of what it is that we're going to be speaking about today. But what do you already know about Deborah? What have you learnt about Deborah? What would you like to learn about Deborah? What can we learn about Deborah? And more importantly, though, what can we learn from Deborah? If you haven't had time to before now, I would encourage you to read the first five chapters of Judges at some time, and you would get the complete message of this. But the context of Deborah is quite interesting. If we see in chapter one of Judges, we see that there is a failure on behalf of those that had gone before her to cleanse the promised land, as God had requested and required after Joshua had died. They'd been given that command. The children of Israel had been given that command, and there were consequences of their choices. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we read that because of their disobedience, we see what happened. In verse 3b says, the first second part of verse 3 says, that the Canaanites would be a thorn in their side and that their gods would be a constant temptation to the children of Israel. So that's one of the consequences. Chapter 2, in verses 10 to 15, we see that Israel disobeys the Lord, and they turned away from him and succumbed to the temptation that we read about in verse 3. In verse 3, we read this, and it says, "Since you have done this, I will no longer drive out the people in your land. There will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you." The Lord was angry. He'd had enough, and he handed them over to the bandits. We read that in verse 14 when it says this. "This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, so he handed them over to marauders who stole their possessions. He sold them to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them." In fact, verse 15 says that the Lord even fought against his people because of their wickedness and because of their lack of their desire to drive out the sin from within them. They were not in a good place, but not because of the Lord's heart towards his people. The Lord wanted to be their God, but they kept pushing him away. And as a loving father does, he corrected them. And so the things that God brought against the people of Israel were not because he didn't love them, it's because he did love them, because correction is necessary in a loving relationship. But after the correction of verse 15, the Lord reached out again to the people, and he set up judges over them to, as verse 16 and 18 says, to rescue the Israelites from their enemies. And we can read this, and it says this: "Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites for their enemies." And in verse 18 says, "Whenever the Lord placed a judge over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime." But what was the people's response? And it's sandwiched between verses 16 and verse 18. And verse 17 says this: "Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods, bowing down to them. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors who had walked in obedience to the Lord's command." The judge would rescue them, and while they were alive, everything was good. But when the judges died, they retreated back to their old ways. And verse 19 reinforces this when it says, "But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They followed other gods, worshipping and bowing down to them, and they refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways." Isn't it interesting how this speaks to us? But in chapter 3, verses 5 to 31, we can read a lot more detail about the cycle of idolatry and rebellion and then repentance that the children of Israel went through. When Israel was idolatrous, God handed them over to their enemies. When Israel repented and cried out to the Lord, he raised up judges to help them. And we see three judges that came, the first three judges that came before Deborah. One was Othniel, Then there was Ehud, who was left-handed, and we see that in verse 15 of chapter 3. And then we also see Shamgar. And then in chapter 4, we get to the subject of today's focus of the characters, and that's Deborah. So what does Deborah's name means? For those of you that are knowledgeable in scriptures, you'll remember that it means bee. And the bee symbolizes some interesting characteristics that Deborah showed. The people followed her like bees swarm around their leader. And a bee's sting is painful, and Deborah chastised the people. But her care for them under God's leading was so sweet to them that it was like honey. Now, bees collect pollen and nectar that benefits others, just as Deborah worked for others and encouraged them. So there's some characteristics of her name that flowed out in her own personal character. Her husband was a fellow called Lapidoth, meaning torches, and it is likely that he served in the sanctuary of Shiloh, looking after the torches and the candles. And similarly, Deborah was like a candle or a torch, spreading the light of God's word to the people. I like to think that she is a great example of a man supporting, I like to think that he is a great example of a man supporting the mission of his wife. And it was definitely different given the time in history that Deborah was in. Now, she was only one of seven female prophets whose prophecies are recorded in Scripture. And she lived in the mountains in the middle of a sinful, idolatrous people. But she remained loyal and true to God's word, to the Torah. We know that she was wise and she feared God. And people flocked to see her. She was popular because of her wisdom. And as she held court under the trees in the open air, the people came and asked her advice. And she did this purposely. She sat purposely in the open so she could declare to the people who God is, and to urge them to repent and to turn away from evil. So she was in a public place and she was seen by everyone. Now, as a woman in a male-dominated society, this was amazing. We don't read much about a husband, but I'm sure he was amazed at God's power that shone through her just as the people were. And it was a sign of respect that they came to her to settle their disputes. They honored Deborah and they saw that God was with her. And God will use, and this is the point, that God will use anyone who makes himself available to him. Something else that I love about Deborah, that she was a warrior and a tactician. Now, the Lord had given her a vision as to how to defeat Sisera, Israel's persecutor and nemesis. Now, he was the commander of King Jabin's army and had the equivalent of a modern-day arsenal at his disposal. As chapter 4, verse 3 says, he had 900 iron chariots. But there would have been thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers as well. But those iron chariots were the equivalent of today's tanks. And so he had an amazing arsenal at his disposal. He would have had archers and tacticians that helped him continue to keep Israel in submission under King Jabin. But one of Israel's champion warriors, Barak, doubted God's ability to deliver Israel, and he would only go to war if Deborah went with him. Now, what was her response that we see in chapter 4, verse 9? Barak had said in verse 8, I will go, but only if you go with me. And Deborah replied in verse 9, very well, I will go with you. But since you have made this choice, you will receive no honor, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. That would have been confronting in that time when men were the dominant sex in society. She was bold. Deborah was bold. But she saw Israel become free from oppression, especially after that tent peg assassination that we read about of Sisera in chapter 3, verse 21. Now, Deborah was a songstress and she was a poet, and we read about that in chapter 5. And in summary, Deborah was an amazing woman who heard God's voice, was an incredible judge, was a warrior, a poet, a prophet, a singer, and a songwriter. And she was in great company in God's service with the only other prophet judge being Samuel. So she was in great company. But what challenges does Deborah leave for us? What can we learn from Deborah? Well, I want to look at a few of these, and I hope that you take the time to write them down. Three things. Firstly, Deborah calls us to be obedient. Deborah obeyed God, and others obeyed her. These were good outcomes, and there were good outcomes because of the obedience that Deborah had and because of those that obeyed her. And can I make it very clear to you that God will use those who are willing and obedient, no matter who they are. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about whether you're male or female or what nationality you are. God longs for you to be obedient to his call on your life. So number one is be obedient. Number two, be courageous. Deborah was a woman in a man's world, and it took incredible courage for her to do what she did, to stand up in that and be counted. But God was with her. And she went to battle when a man wouldn't. The men weren't willing to do what men were to do. And God used a woman to fill the gap. God will use whomever he chooses, man, woman, child, no matter who you are. Be courageous and let God use you, and be obedient as you step into that. And the third point is stand true. Don't waver in your faith in who God is, because he is the one who is over all and can use everything. And more than anything else, trust God to guide you. So be obedient, be courageous, and stand true in these times that we face, because for us to be obedient, for us to be courageous, and for us to stand for truth can make the world of difference. It can see other people coming to the kingdom. And that's what we're here for. We're here to walk in holiness. We're here to walk in God's way. We're here to be obedient to him. And by the way that we love other people, to show who we follow, that is Jesus Christ, and to see other people come into the kingdom. So can I encourage you through this person of Deborah to walk courageously in obedience and in all truth as we read in the scripture. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word and how again that through this person that is Deborah, you have shown us something that is amazing. Lord, we thank you for Deborah. We thank you for how she was obedient, how she was courageous, and how she knew your truth and stood in it. Lord, we ask that you would give us your mercy and your strength and your courage to do this too. That in our faith, as we look to you as the one who is sovereign over all, that we would know what it is that we are to do in every situation. Lord, as we face the tough times, as we walk through the good times, be with us, lead us and guide us, we pray. And give us the insight that we need as we continue to look at the different characters in Scripture, to be able to stand strong in who you've made us to be. Lord, you are great. You are sovereign over all. And we trust you for the future as we walk into it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, and may the Lord bless you this week.
You love with no reservations, and you're not looking for perfection. There's no need in me pretending. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. You deserve my full attention. Nothing less than my devotion. Speak to me. Speak to me. I give you everything. I give you everything. Come on, sing it out. Oh, oh, you can have my heart. Yes, you can. You can have my heart. Oh, oh, you can have my heart. yours forever.